Windows down, music up. Get ready to hit the road in a new Chevy SUV or truck. Chevy is a name you know and trust. It's Chevy as American as apple pie and baseball. Check out the full line of Chevy vehicles at your local Chevy dealer. Chevy, drive Chicago.
I normally don't go ahead and just read from press releases, but I'm about to. Melba Moore, the Tony Award-winning, Grammy Award-winning commander of the stage, has now conquered Broadway in Hair, going back to 1967, Pearly 1970, and became the first black woman to inhabit the role of Fantine in Les Mis in 1995, and also in the pandemic period, reflected on her work and is back out there and, in fact, has written a memoir, This Is It, Marvelous and Getting Better, and the very marvelous Melba Moore is right here. Hi, Melba.
How you doing?
You know what? I mean, your career spans so many years, I almost don't know where to start here. So let me...
Well, you know, maybe you shouldn't go back to the beginning. It's too far.
How many years has it been?
Well, it's over 50 now.
And one of the messages in the book is that you have to have resilience. And how do you do that, given the things that people have in their lives? You know, you began as a teacher. Do you still consider yourself as such?
I think so. I think that was my first audience. I found out as a teacher, I really needed to try to perform. But when I came to perform, I realized this is kind of another classroom, only this time I'm the student.
What do you mean?
Well, the audience teaches you so much, and I think I observed that in the classroom because if they like you and you reach them, they actually start to dress like you.
What? Explain. So the audience, when they come to see you on stage, dress like you? I don't think so.
Well, only the drag queens do that.
Okay. That may be.
Well, I mean, you are the package. You are the image. So what you look like is extremely important. I've learned that over the years, yeah.
But you've also said, and maybe the quote is incorrect, but you've said people think they know me on stage, but the person on stage is very different from the person I am in real life and the things that I've gone through in real life. Is that a true quote?
No, that's correct, because on stage, you come to perform, you show a certain side of yourself, and as a performing musician primarily, that's the thing that I do the most, that's the part that they see of you, and we don't have a lot of interviews where you get in-depth conversations about your life, so they really only see the superficial kind of snapshot of you.
Oh, but in your book, you write about all those things in your life. And one of those things in your life happened, you know, when your producer, then husband, Charles Huggins, the marriage collapsed. And he even somehow got the daughter, the contracts, the money. And you lost pretty much everything. How do you come back from something like that?
Now, that's correct. You got that part right. You come back with a lot of help. I things that seem like coincidence, after a while you realize there is a God in heaven and he's sending people to help you, because I was just about to be evicted from my Central Park South apartment. And during that month, prior to the time that I was going to physically be evicted, I got a call from the gentleman who brought me out on my first gospel theater tour. And he started that genre. His name was Michael Matthews. Everybody knows Tyler Perry for it, but he was amongst those who started it. But the point is this. He took me out on the road. He paid me $7,000 a week cash, but I didn't have no bank account.
Hmm.
You know, and on and on and on. I didn't have an address, so I had to learn how to keep my money on my body. And I had to learn a different way to live. But I was able to move because somebody hired me for some work. I stayed out on the road with that company for about 2 years. By the time I came back, I had enough cash stored up to get another apartment, but I didn't have any credit history, so somebody had to help me to trust that I would pay them rent, you know, every month. So I needed people to help me. That's my point.
So how does this happen where the husband managed? I mean, you were a big star at that point in time. So how does it happen where the husband manages to grab everything? Is that an era where the woman just depended on the guy and then he kind of screwed you over?
Now you got that right, too. And I've done a lot of healing where I couldn't laugh about it, but you might call it a conspiracy. There were a whole group of people who helped him to do that so that they made sure that I would not know what was going on. It was a concerted effort to do that. I think that's what they did for a living, because I'm not the only one that they did that to. It was their profession, so they knew how to do that.
Melba, did you ever think of ending it all?
Oh, many, many times. But
really?
I have a daughter, and I think that's what saved me, because as depressed as I would get, I would remember that she had run away, so I didn't know where she was, but my hope was that I would find her and make her know that this wasn't her fault. I mean, I had something in someone else to live for besides myself. That's my point.
And tell us about the relationship today that you have with your daughter.
Well, she's kind of my boss. As a matter of fact,
I knew that was going to be the answer, but yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's that time in life, you know, you have to pass the baton on. And she said, Ma, everybody's got a book. Everybody your age has a book except you. You need to get a book. So she spearheaded this whole idea.
And what a great idea it is. This is it. And if you don't know, that was a hit song of Melba Moore's, among many others. This is it, Marvelous and Getting Better. A lot of the book is about how you do get better. It's about a positive attitude. This is it, Marvelous and Getting Better, Melba Moore. I don't do it like you do, though, and you do it in four octaves. And, you know, today a lot of people know Mariah Carey has four octaves that she can do or whatever. Five octaves.
She has at least four or five octaves.
Say that again?
She does what you call a whistle tone, but we're not talking about Mariah. Okay, go ahead.
No, explain it to me, because I know you can do five octaves. And you know what? Do you warn people before they come in to see you to take off their eyeglasses so that the glass doesn't break?
No, I want them to be surprised.
I mean, seriously, five octaves. That's crazy. I mean, but explain what you meant about Mariah and the whistle and all that. Educate us.
She actually does a tone. I don't know how many octaves it is, but I can't remember the song that she does now, but she goes way so high. It sounds like a whistle.
Right. And they call it a whistle tone. That much I know. And you also, at one point, replaced Diane Keaton on Broadway, I believe. And I want to talk about that. Did you ever meet her?
Oh, yeah, we were friends. We shared a dressing room together. I replaced her in the role of Sheila in Hair.
Mm-hmm. And you were the first African-American woman to do that role or have any lead, I think, on Broadway. But
Well, I wasn't the first black person to do a lead, but I was the first black lady to replace a white lady in a lead role.
Okay. And Diane Keaton happened to be that white lady. What was she like?
I love Diane. She was hilarious, beautiful, warm-hearted. Great actress. And she could sing very well if she wanted to.
Yeah. In fact, she would sing to her dog and then she would post it on social media. And I have some of that in my social media because I had interviewed her several different times. Congratulations to you, because very recently, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, it took a few minutes though, didn't it?
Well, I wasn't really thinking about that, but my partner, Ron Richardson, my manager, he went through the whole process, and he kind of kept me posted, but I went about my life doing my little old thing, and then he let me know that he was in the last stages of it, and it was about to happen, but we didn't have the thousands of dollars that it cost to pay for it. So he put a big GoFundMe, and Cat Williams answered it before anybody else had a chance to, and said he would pay the whole thing.
Are you surprised at the interest there is in your book, the interest there is in you, and the number of fans that come to see you perform still?
No, I'm not surprised at that. No.
I'm glad.
I mean, I feel very, very, very blessed at that. But I guess mainly because I keep busy doing it, so I don't really think about that. I'm grateful and happy about that.
You know, I wanted to get back and ask you, going back about the abuse in marriage, and you write in your book about emotional abuse. Is that as bad, in quotes, as affecting, better word, as physical abuse?
Absolutely, because it's psychological. It has a psychological effect on you that after it happens habitually, you almost cooperate with it.
At what point
whether you want to or not, because it's a habit.
At what point did you realize that you were actually being abused?
No, I never did, because I'm a fighter. I kept fighting back, but you can't. It's not healthy to be in a relationship where you're always fighting. So, I mean, I never, you know, succumbed and said, you know, oh, gee, I'm being abused. I kept fighting back. But eventually, he fought back by, you know, really kind of arranging that I got evicted and shut me out of my whole life. So that I didn't have any documentation of what was going on in my life. There were forged documents. So by the time I found out anything, I was fighting a ghost. My landlord evicting me.
Yeah, that's what you
said. That's where the fight went. And then, you know, my fight then came to be, well, can I survive this? But I got work, so I was out on the road with people who really stayed with me and cared for me and helped me through that. I didn't have any psychological help at that time, but good people just stayed with me and went through it with me.
You once said, again, it could be a misquote, you'll tell me, if you're not a strong singer, listen to people who are and learn from those around you. So if that's true, I could get up on stage.
That was advice to myself.
Really? Explain that.
Well, in the beginning, when I was a scholar of music and then I was a teacher of music, I taught vocal music in the public schools. My natural voice was a very soft, lyric soprano singing classical music. But I wanted to holler and hoop like the R&B singers. And so I listened to people like Aretha Franklin, and I listened to all of the blues singers, and I started to imitate them and try to sing like them. And then I took vocal lessons outside, privately, but then they only could teach you classical music. So I guess I really developed my own technique. And so I listened to everybody and kept trying. And so now I can sing louder. I can sing louder and higher and longer.
What was it you were just on? It was Sherry Shepherd, I think, on a talk show. And this little blip went viral. You probably know what I'm talking about, where I don't know what Sherry said exactly. Something like, can you still do it? And you grab the microphone and you, you know, in several different octaves, just like that.
Yeah, and I held it like for about 32 seconds.
You did? I know. Yeah. So my question to you is, how many lungs do you really have? Three lungs?
Only two, but I really pumped them up. I mean, over the years, I swim, I work out, I run, I dance, I do everything to get healthy breathing. I eat a special. I really live the life of an athlete. There's certain foods I don't eat because they affect the voice badly.
What would that be?
Like dairy, ice cream, you know, fun things like
chocolate. Don't tell me that.
Bread and butter, fried foods, or like fried chicken. I can't eat that stuff. That does you really, really bad. But like steamed or baked fish, steamed vegetables, fresh fruits. I eat that now, and that allows me to, you know, to do my work.
Well, indeed. And to me, your memoir is, it's a memoir. It's about you, but it's really a life lesson, if you will, about optimism and resiliency. The name of the book is This Is It, Marvelous and Getting Better. Or maybe
getting. You say it so loud. That's beautiful.
Getting Even Better should be the name, really, I think.
Yeah, because Getting Even Better. Yep.
You are. Melba Moore, what a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, this has been fun. Thank you.